The Facebook group or on Turfs Up Radio. This is Unleash Your Courage, and I'm your host, Angela Schroeder. This is a show where we talk about getting over your fears, making courageous decisions, and how leadership is all about those things as well. So I am so excited to have Ryan Fox with us today. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so I only met Ryan recently, like many of our guests, when I was attending ClipaCon in Las Vegas, and love your story and love your mission to really be, you know, impacting lives and sharing your success, your trials, and using that to impact and help other people. So why don't we start off by you telling the audience just a little bit about you?
Yeah, awesome. Well, first off, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here and glad to share my story with everybody. And I guess I'll start back. So I was one of those crazy kids that my parents knew I was going to be an entrepreneur when I was like 5 years old, right? Like they just knew. My dad had his own company, and so I grew up around it. And so I was probably, I don't know, about 7 or 8, maybe 9, I don't know, somewhere around there. And got the idea, like most kids, let's have the lemonade stand, right? And so me, my sister, and another brother and sister went to the corner, right at the front of the neighborhood, and I found the prime location. Every car had to pass by us, and we set up there at the T, and like there's 5 houses this way, but there was like 100 houses that way. So we set up and we sold lemonade that day, and we made, you know, I don't know, maybe like $20 or something. And good bit of money, I don't know, it might not have been that much, but we made it and we split up the money. And I went to my mom and I said, hey, mom, can you take me to the store? I want to buy more stuff, but I want to sell like cookies and Coke and candy and everything, because all the guys were building the neighborhood, all the Hispanic guys. So I was like, they want to come and buy stuff, and so I can sell them more stuff. And she's like, okay. Well, my sister and the other brother and sister didn't want to reinvest their money. They wanted to go spend it. So I went and I bought stuff, and I went and sat up there and did it for like 2 weeks and made like $200. And then they wanted back in, and my dad was like, nope. You got to make your own stand, because he's already gave you your cut. You got out. You didn't reinvest it like he did. So that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And I'm like, this is nice. Like, I'm just out here selling stuff and making money, you know? So then I fast forward to being 11 years old, and my dad was in the green industry. So he actually brokered turf grass. So he would, people would just call him up and order sod here. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, and they would, builders and landscapers, and he had all the connections with La Sod Farms. So he would just be a middleman, and he just pretty much routed the trucks and got it all to them. So that's what he did. So I grew up in the green industry. So naturally I was like, well, I'll start mowing yards at 11. So he's like, here's the lawnmower. Here's all my stuff. You can use mine. But you gotta go out and get all the jobs yourself. So I started knocking on doors and, you know, had a route. And, you know, every summer I had like, you know, $10,000, $15,000 saved up from mowing yards, you know? And so then he's like, wait, you need to get a checking account. You can have like 10 grand in your bedroom. Like, that's a terrible idea. So we had to go get a checking account. Then he fast forwards to when I was 16. He came to me and he said, Ryan, he said, you're really passionate about this, I can see. He said, I'm going to buy you a commercial mower. You can use my trailer and everything. And so he went and bought me a whole setup. It was like $8,500, and he was my bank. So I had to pay him back over 2 years. I had a note every month, and I paid him back in just over a year, paid it off. And then when I was 18, he made me go get my first loan for a mower, and he made me go in the bank myself. And so I had a commercial checking account already, and everything, and he made me go in and sit down by myself and get the loan and do the whole deal. I came out and I said, okay, I got it. They gave me, you know, $8,500, and let's go pay for it. And so I went and bought it. So my dad had a really big part on my upbringing to be an entrepreneur. And then, you know, in high school, all my friends were working for me. I was doing probably like $40,000 a year in high school, mowing yards. And just doing on the weekends and, you know, in the summer and stuff. So that's pretty much what I did. Then graduated high school, went to college for a year for horticulture. My parents wound up losing everything they had because my dad was an alcoholic and got on drugs and stuff. And so wound up losing everything. And so I wound up having to drop out of school. And school wasn't really for me anyways. I realized that I'm like, I don't need this for what I'm doing. I have this business going. And I started doing more landscaping and tree removal type stuff. So we did that, and then my dad was kind of working for me at the time, and then my business partner now, he was working with me. He went off on his own to go work for a company doing landscaping installs, and then we kind of met back up in 2009. So in between there, I kind of worked for a couple other people doing sales and whatnot, but I was never happy with the entrepreneurship. It was only for like about a year and a half, 2 years. it kept like calling me back. You know, I'm like, that's what I need to do. I need to go do my own thing. And I was at a true mobile company doing sales, and they just weren't treating me right. So I was like, if I'm going to sell these jobs, I'll just do it myself. And so me and my now business partner linked up, and we're like, let's just start knocking on doors. He had some insurance and a dump truck. I had chainsaws, ropes, and had some connections for all the guys. And it was a big flood, and we just started knocking on doors and selling jobs. And so we started a tree removal landscaping company. And we, talking about being courageous, we had $150 probably to our names when we did it. And that was it. So like, it was either make this work, but it was in 09. So it was in the middle of a recession, right? Nobody's giving anybody, no one's giving 23-year-olds a loan at that time, right? So like, everything we had to do, we had to pay cash for. So we did that, we grew the business. And that's how we got into Christmas Lights. Was in 2012, we wanted to supplement our winter income. So we jumped into Christmas Lights, did that. Now that's our largest service. But at the time, we just needed it to, you know, give us a little bit of money in the winter. And then in 2015, we got approached by a franchise for pressure washing to be their first licensee and then approve the model. And we wound up doing that. And then we got out of the tree business in 2016. And then we're doing the pressure washing, gutter cleaning currently, the Christmas lights, landscape lighting. And then we started a concrete coatings business in 2021 as well. And I've been running that. And then we also sell Christmas lights. And then we just started that the mastermind Beyond the Bulbs as well. So.
Wow, you have you have more than, I feel like when I hear people's stories, then I just pick up a little bit more on them each time. I'm like, oh, yeah. I missed that little nugget. I love your lifelong journey of entrepreneurialism.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
And that kind of mirrors mine as well in ways. And I think we're not all born some things, but I think it is that spirit within us that, you know, that you have that drive that you want to create something on your own. And a lot of my guests on here, we talk about that. And it's a feeling that you can't necessarily describe to other people, or other people that aren't that don't necessarily get. And I'm sure you had that itchy feeling when you were with someone else, because that's happened to me too in the seasons of running really successful businesses, and then things happened, and then life happened. And in periods where we weren't living out that spirit and we had to be building someone else's dream instead of our own, it's like soul sucking.
Yeah.
Right? Well, when you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I tell people, you know, so like, you look at Michael Jordan, right? He's really great at basketball. Mm-hmm. And that was what, that's the gift God gave him, right? To be really good at basketball. Well, mine was entrepreneur, be an entrepreneur. And I was a kid in high school. I would come home. I would never pay attention in class. Like, I never brought a book home. I had A's and B's because I actually had a learning disability. So I'm 1% of the population that can't hear phonics. So I had to go to all this extra tutoring to like memorize words and in first grade. And so it gave me like a photographic memory. So I would sit in class and not pay attention, and I would like retain the information enough to take a test, but I would never study, never bring a book home. And so in class, I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, okay, if I pick up 5 more jobs, I can make this much more money by the end of the week. And then by the end of the season, I can have this much. I come home and tell my dad, and my mom's like, but my dad's like all excited, you know, and my mom's like, but did you pay attention at school? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But look, mom, look, dad, like, look what I can do. And so that, you know, I think because of that, I was different than a lot of the other kids, you know, because I was already thinking at that age about working, you know, where a lot of kids aren't, like, and so I think it's just one of those things that like everybody has a gift, you know, and that was mine. And so, I've talked to tons of people that are like, man, that have businesses now, and they're like, I wish I would have started when I was a kid. And I'm like, yeah, but that wasn't your journey, right? That was my journey. Your journey was to go work in corporate America or whatever you were doing. And now you've gone to be, and like, I was like, for some reason, that's what you had to do. I was like, my journey was this as a, you know, I'm not saying one's wrong and one's right. That's just what my calling was. And I knew that from a young age, you know, that like, I didn't know I was going to own a Christmas light company or a power washing company. That's where God took me and my life took me, but I knew I was going to own businesses. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And everyone's journey is different, whether they have those seeds and possibilities to do things early, and some people don't. But they probably always had that unsettled feeling inside them of like, that they've got to be the creator and the visionary in the space. So I had Trevor Steele on last week, and we talked about this too, of in school, school being different. And it was for me, he had his own challenges in school. And I was a high achiever, graduated top of my class, but I had my own learning. Like it's a different thing with phonics. Now I forget what it is because I've just dismissed it, but it was really hard for me to read because I can't sound out words. I can't do the phonics of, like, my brain doesn't do that at all. So it has to be photographic. Like, unless I've memorized.
That's what I have. That's exactly what I had.
Yeah, unless I can memorize a word.
Yeah. I can't read. So when a new word comes up, even to this day, I'm like,
me too. I have
to, like, ask somebody and I'm like, yeah.
It's really embarrassing. But if anyone, and when you come into the speaking world, for a while you can ignore it, right? It's definitely a huge thing in school. It's really embarrassing in college when you get asked to read aloud and you're like, I'm in college. And I can't. I cannot read this political science book aloud to you because there's no way I can possibly pronounce these countries or read them.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how, that's crazy. Now we share that too. But I've discovered how, traditional schools and schools now really aren't designed for a lot of people, because unless you were a high achieving entrepreneurial, like, overcomer, that could have totally set us back and diminished us, in a way that was unrecoverable.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And would have put us in a place of not being able to speak. And it kind of erased from my life that you didn't have to read aloud until you get into the speaking world or doing podcasts and things like that. And someone gives you something to read. And I was like, oh no, I can't do that.
Yeah. I think, I used to struggle with it a lot. And then I realized, you know what? I can't change it. And at the end of the day, if somebody's not going to like me or look down on me because I fumbled a word, then that's going to be their issue and that's going to be their problem. When I was a kid, it really did bother me a lot. I think as I've gotten older, I've realized, you know, like, everybody has something they struggle with and everybody's good at everything. I am in a way glad that it happened because it's made me who I am. And it made me, I think, be really driven. And I thank my parents for realizing it, because the school wasn't telling my parents I had to go to tutoring. They pretty much told, my mom asked them and said, well, what can we do? And they're like, well, we really don't have anything for them. My mom's like, well, is there tutoring or something we can do? And they were like, yeah, my mom said it was a lot of money. You know, my dad literally in first grade was starting his company. So he left working for a nursery and, like, decided to start his company. So, like, I know they weren't in the best financial time, but they did it because they knew that's what I needed. Right. And so it's funny, my oldest right now is 5, and he's a lot like me as a child. He's like my mini me, how he acts and everything. Aww. My mom was like, says it's like raising you again. And he's actually, we just enrolled him in private school because of the whole reason about schools and everything. We want the best education for him. So, you know, we're taking that sacrifice, you know, all the money it costs and everything to enroll him in that. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things that I want to give him the best opportunity. And I actually went to a really, really great public school. It was like one of the top 4 in the nation when I was going there for sports and everything, academics. But it just, you know, they don't cater to special need students. Mm-hmm. And that can be special need, like, if you're really intelligent or if you're anywhere in between. I went in high school to my counselor. My counselor was like, well, what do you want to do for your life? And I'm like, oh, I want to own a business. She's like, no, that's not a career path. I'm like, no, it is. And she's like, no, it's not. I'm like, my dad has one. I was like, I have a company right now. And she's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I'm making like $30,000-$40,000 a year, this and that. She called me a liar. And I'm like, I don't have to put up with this. And I just got up and walked out. And she's like, came running after me. And I'm like, nope, see ya. Like, you're not telling me I'm not doing this when I'm doing this, you know, like, so, like, it was just like, the school system fails anybody that is outside of the norms, and they fail entrepreneurs. They don't want to make people entrepreneurs. Our school system hasn't changed since the Industrial Revolution over 100 years ago. And it was made for people to go into factories and work and to come out and work 9 to 5 in a factory. And nobody does that anymore. So why don't we change our school systems? You know, is my whole thing is like, but we don't. It's still the same school system.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't give you that option of entrepreneurship. Maybe they do a better job of it now, but I think that's something, you know, an improvement that we can all be passionate about as well, that people know that that is something that is an option, because it's so often like you're promoted to go into the vocations. And I have kids that are making those decisions now. So my kids are college age, just left the high school age. And are those really as enthusiastically presented as occupations as be a business owner?
And I think now social media is making it a lot more glamorous too.
Yes. Yeah. So. But I think that they end up, I love that you've shared, I encounter more and more people that didn't finish the college path and that kids know you don't have to. It's not the same as I feel like when I was there and it was this cookie cutter path and everyone had to go to high school and get a 4-year degree. And that's absolutely what had to happen. And you needed to just pick between these and be guided in that direction. My major, because my high school guidance counselor told me to major in chemical engineering. That would have been really bad. But anyway, I think I was confused. I didn't know what to do because I was raised, I had that entrepreneurial spirit and I was raised by an entrepreneur and I knew I didn't want to work for someone. And I think my kids are going through that now. I say that on a lot of episodes and they're like, we're not confused. But they see that lifestyle. They see the choices. And they don't really understand if they don't know, if they don't know if they want to start a business or what that's like. But yeah, hopefully that path is better for.
We want to know what's funny is I have two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. And my sisters always said, Mom and Dad never taught us about money or finances or business and stuff. I said, yeah, they did. They taught us all the time. And that was like, I was like, and then one day it hit me. I said, you know what the difference is? I said, I wanted to learn it all. So I was taking it in and asking questions and they weren't paying attention to it because it wasn't intriguing to them. To me, it was. I'm like, my dad would let me sit in with their financial advisor meetings. He's like, you can sit over there at the other side of the table when the guy would come to the house and I would just sit there and listen. And then I'd ask him questions afterwards about it.
They didn't take advantage of opportunities.
Yeah, they never did because it wasn't intriguing to them. To me, it was, I mean, how many 10-year-olds really want to sit in a financial advisor meeting? Well, I did, it was intriguing to me, because I'm like, this is something I can use in the future. But to them, it wasn't interesting to them. So I'm like, we're both raised in the same, we're all three raised in the same house, so.
Wow. That is a crazy perspective. Yeah. They just didn't want to poke it in.
Yeah.
So not what's taught, but what's caught. All right. Yeah. Well, on that note, we have to take our first commercial break and we're back.
Yep.
And we might have figured out how to play the commercials correctly now that Shine does it and she's my amazing assistant does it instead of me trying to manage the technology and it not working out well.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
An opportunity or an example of things that you should always delegate the things that you do not do best.
Exactly. And
I tried to hang on to that for way too long. Okay.
I think we all do, right?
I can just do that. No. Save everyone else and don't do it yourself either. Oh, goodness. Okay, so let's dive into some courage. And in your journey, business journey, what are some courageous decisions you've had to make? Some of the big ones or fears you've had to get over?
So I'd say, obviously, when me and Brett started our first True Removal Landscaping Company, and we had $150 to our name and, had to start just knocking on doors and making it work. And I'd say that was the biggest one because, we were in a recession. It was either that or go get a job somewhere we hated and, not be, fulfilled or whatnot. I'd say that was the first real big one because I think, luckily we were both single and, no family or kids or anything. So it was just, it was easy, hey, I just need a little bit of money to live on or whatnot, pay our bills. And that's how it was at first. Like, hey, I got my truck payment this week. Okay, we'll pay your truck payment. Okay, next week we got your truck payment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, we just kind of, until we got going. And then the next big one was actually when we got into Christmas lights, we wanted to do it. And we needed $2,500 to do it. And we didn't have the money. So we borrowed it from his mom. And a loan and paid her back when we sold some jobs and did it. So I think that was another one, he came to me, he was more in his yard and he was like, Ryan, we should hang Christmas lights. People will pay us to hang Christmas lights. I'm like, no one's going to pay us to hang Christmas lights. This is a crazy idea, which is funny because I'm the visionary I'm like 88. I score like 88, I think, on the visionary on track, rocket fuel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so he's the integrator and he came up with that idea. So, it was, he had some, the visionary, in him right then. And it was, you know, it turned out to be one of the best decisions ever. But we took that leap of faith and, you know, now it's taken us here and, you know, that's our biggest source of revenue. And, you know, with most of our stuff is all geared around is the lights. So that was a huge one. When I went into sales full time for the company and got off the truck, that was a self-limiting belief I had. I knew I was good at sales, but to realize that I was doing a disservice to my company being on the truck. I had a coach at the time and she told me, she's like, Ryan, you need to be out selling every day. You don't need to be on the truck. I'm like, no, I need to be on the truck. No, you don't. We grew 73% that year when I went full time in sales. Yeah. She had me read a book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And it's all about upper limiting yourself and putting a glass ceiling on yourself. And I read that and I was like,
what was that book called again?
The Big Leap.
The Big
Leap. By Gay Hendricks. Yeah. By Gay Hendricks.
That in the comments. That author intrigues me because I talk in my book and a lot about another book that he wrote, Five Wishes. So
I haven't read that one. I have to look into that one. Okay. So yeah, so she made me read that and then I did that. So that was probably another, you know, I'd say big one, I guess. So
I think the courageous decisions that you talk about have a parallel, which I think a lot of people do, are stepping away from security. Right. When you stepped into like, we are going all in with $150 in our pockets. Like there is no security in this. Just jumping off the ledge, decisions that kind of feel like jumping off a ledge without a parachute. I think in business, like there is nothing like this. I have to make this work. And that's the same way with Holiday Lights. It was a big risk. And then especially when you got off the truck, you knew on the truck, you had security in the amount of money you could make.
Yeah.
And there was an unknown in your potential, even though it was there, but in an unknown and not defined amount. So it's stepping away from that security and what that feels like.
And then I'd say another one actually made me think of that was when I hired our first salesman. When I got up to like selling about $1 million a year, but I was tapped out, I couldn't sell anymore. And so I hired a full-time salesman. And so I turned a lot of the sales over to him. That was because I was a salesperson at the time, you know? So I was like, that was in my mind. I'm the one driving the company. I'm the salesperson. So I think that was another one, then hiring him and getting him out, and he killed it. And he did awesome. I mean, I think his first year he sold like 700 and something thousand. His first year, never did sales before I trained him, and went and did it. And so he did phenomenal, but it was kind of like that. I remember sitting at home and thinking like, is this the right idea? Like, is he going to be able to, you know, handle this? Like, you know, I should be doing that. I should be doing this. And then, but then I had to learn, okay, now you're going more to the CEO role and you're going to be working on the business versus doing the sales every day, you know? So it was kind of, you know, learning how to wear a new hat and what I identified as, I guess, you know.
And you're paying a new person. That's the whole, I think every time we bring on a high level team member, there's the insecurity of like, that's a big paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope there's
luckily more sales. Sales is one of those things like they're getting paid if they sell. So like if they don't sell, they don't get paid. So, but it's still the unknown, you know, of like if it's going to work.
You also weren't selling, so it could have went the other way.
It could have. Yeah, exactly.
So delving into leadership, and I talk a lot about that. Leadership begins and leading other people begins with leading yourself well. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? What are ways that you try and in your life, in your business, lead yourself well?
So I think number one, you need to be aware of what you're really good at and what you're not really good at and where your shortcomings are, right? Because if I'm really good at sales, and that's my area of expertise, then I should be doing the sales, right? Especially early on in a company. And if I'm not really good at running an office, then I don't need to be doing the office stuff. So I think that like you're doing a disservice to yourself, your company, and your employees if you're not in your area of genius, as I like to call it. So I think that's number one, is knowing your area of genius, because that's where you're going to succeed and that's where your company is going to succeed. I tell everybody all the time, my office manager is amazing at running the office. That's why we hired her. And she comes and asks me stuff, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't run an office. I mean, I can help you with like the high level business stuff, but like, do what you think's good because you're running the office. You know, I hired you, and I'm paying you really well to run this office for us. You know, so I think that I would hate running the office all day. That'd be miserable to me. She loves it, you know, and so that's, she's in her area of genius, you know. So I think that's number one, is being self-aware and knowing those shortcomings and where you're really successful at. And then I think the other thing is knowing what, with that, I guess it kind of piggybacks off that, is knowing what fills your cup and what drains it. So if you know that, you know, there's certain activities that drain your cup, then you probably don't want to be doing those all the time, because you're just going to be snapping at people. And, you know, like I can take care of the operation side of the business if I need to here and there, but I don't like it. It's not my thing. My business partner is amazing at it. And so we realized that that's not where I need to be. Right. So we need to hire, and we actually hired an operations manager below him this year, and last October. And so it's just, you know, I realized that. So like, that would drain my cup if I had to do it so much, because I just hated it in the morning. I was just trying to get the guys out, and like, it was just really stressful for me, like, and then whatnot. But you want me to go sell $100,000 job? Like, yeah, I'll go do that. You know, so that would fill my cup. But then also personally would fill my cup, you know. So like, I'm big on family. So spending time with my family, that's huge for me. So like every Saturday, I make waffles and bacon for the family and the boys and everything, and they love it and they think it's awesome. So I think I don't really work on Saturdays or Sundays, very little. Sometimes like during Christmas time I will, for about 6 weeks. But besides that, I really have a hard, you know, no work on Saturday, Sunday, and very little anymore in the evenings. Because like doing this call and stuff like that, I will do, but like, I try not to. Once I get home, my work's done. So I'm there, I'm present with my family. So that's really important to me, I think. And having those boundaries, I think, of like, you know, hey, I'm at work. Because I don't want my kids to grow up thinking that all dad did was work all the time and he never had time for us. So I think that's all, that kind of stuff is really being, get you in place to be a good leader for your team, you know. Because if you don't feel fulfilled, or you don't feel you have shortcomings, or I mean, everybody has shortcomings, but if you don't feel you're not in a good mental space, then you can't lead other people in that way, you know. So,
absolutely. So to go back to a couple of those things, I love that you say genius, and I know I kept smiling at that because I refer to it, and that's the name of our VA side of the business, is unique genius. And those two things of what do you do really well, what's in your strength zone, and what fills your bucket, because it's got to qualify both of those. And then I add a third of to be in your unique genius, that it aligns with your mission and vision and gets you closer to your goals. Because sometimes we can operate in the things that we are really good at and fill our bucket because those both feel really good.
Yeah.
But not necessarily the things that get you closer to your mission and vision, right? For example, like I love speaking and I love doing this podcast and hearing other people's stories. But unless I align it with a place that is, if I'm just doing it because I'm like, yay, I'm good at talking to people and it fills my bucket to hear your story, Ryan, and to talk to you. But I don't try and operate it in a space of with my mission of impacting people, my ultimate vision, or really also aligning with the goals that I want to accomplish, then it ultimately won't serve me or get us any further or get anyone else any further either.
Yeah, no, that's true too. I definitely didn't even think about that, but I do have that. So like my big why is my legacy. How I tell everybody what it is how it hit me one day is I was sitting there and I was like, I'm gonna shut this blind real quick. I was sitting there and I was like, I was thinking, I'm like, okay, well, if I die with all the knowledge I have, then I'm not going to take it anywhere. There's no legacy, right? I built my business and that's it. But I can help, you know, hundreds of thousands of people along the way, and think about that legacy. Because not only am I going to, like, you know, train or mentor or whatever those people, but it's their children, it's their employees. Like the ripple effect of that is huge. And like, it's something I can't even like fathom. I can't even think about how many people it would touch. So that a lot of that is stuff I do. I'm like, is that going to help my legacy? You know, and if it's not going to help my legacy, obviously there's goals in there that I want for my family and my life and stuff, but that is my main why is, you know, to help other people and, you know, my legacy. So,
I love that.
yeah.
And yeah, keeping that front of mind and examining along with the two things you said is every all are all of our actions and things that we're doing getting us closer to those as well. Or do we need to delegate them and get rid of them?
Yeah.
Now you talked about family too and how you try and do that balance. Has that been something that you've come into, or how do you, what are the parts besides those boundaries that you incorporate running a business and the business being part of your family, part of that legacy and showing your family and having boundaries so that you feel good about, like you said, that your kids don't feel like you're working all the time?
So when me and Allison, my wife, were first married and stuff, I would come home and I would work. She'd be cooking dinner and I'd work and stuff and like hang out and like do work and whatever. And I did that a good bit. But when we started having our boys, we have three boys. I was like, you know, my oldest is five. I was like, you know, sitting there and he was little and I was sitting there one day and it hit me and I'm like, why am I, I'm missing the time to spend with him when I get home. Like I'm missing holding him and playing with him and doing things with him and laughing or playing games. And, you know, when he was a baby, it was different. But when he got older, a little older, you know, was when it started hitting me when he was like maybe two or three. So that's when I made a conscious effort to say when I got home from work, you know, unless it was something that was really pressing that I had to do, then I would, you know, pretty much I'm turning it off. I'm leaving. And then if I had a really bad day too, I try to sit in the truck for a second. I turn it off. I say, okay, whatever baggage I'm carrying here is staying out here in the truck and I'm going inside without it because it's not their fault that I had a bad day at work, you know, that an employee called out or, you know, a truck got wrecked or whatever. Like at the end of the day, they're excited to see their dad come home from work, you know, and they want to sit down and say, hey, like, and on those days when they ask me, hey, do you want to sit down and play Legos or play a board game with me? I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing right now because that sounds way better than dealing with all the stuff I've been dealing with today, you know. So family's really has always been really big to me. So and my wife. So that was one of the things that, you know, I wanted to make sure that I had that balance with them and that we purposely, you know, do things. The other weekend we went, I had to go look at a job up in the mountains and by us, it's about 45 minutes from my house. And I took them up there and looked at it. And then we went gold mining in the town and went out to dinner and got ice cream and made a whole day with it, you know. So I think just, you know, and they love coming to the office. They'll come and see me sometimes and when my wife's off work and, you know, and they'll come up and we'll go to lunch and, you know, they get to see all the trucks and, you know, get on the forklift and the lift and, you know, just all kinds of stuff, you know, draw on the dry erase board and just have be kids, you know, so.
I love that, incorporating them in the business too, like time that you're present with them, but that from a young age, because it was a big deal to you from a young age, the entrepreneurial, you know, to bring them in and let them see, let them have a front row seat and be involved in the business. And then what that does for your team too, to see your family involved.
Yeah, they love it. And we had like our Christmas party last year. We let everybody bring their family members and stuff. So we had it like at a, it's called Dave and Buster's. I don't know if you know what that is or whatnot, but it's like a, oh no, we didn't go to Dave and Buster's. We went to, what was it called? Different, I don't know, similar thing, but it was a different name. I can't remember thinking of it now. But we went there and we had all their families and everything. And so they all got to see our family and their families and kids and stuff. And so I think there's a lot with that because then they, you know, everybody gets to, you know, mingle together and mesh and see, you know, because it's easy to go to work and just see your team members, your employees or whatever, and that's it. And then you get to see their families.
Main event. I don't know who's commenting. I forgot to
That's
say
it.
your
Yeah.
comments.
Might have been my wife.
Oh, okay. I was like, if you're watching on Facebook, be sure to let StreamYard allow us to see your name for comments, and then we can shout you out. And I forgot to click on the comments. I could have clicked on these so people could see them.
Oh yeah, there you go. It's either that
I
or my business partner, one of the two. But
don't
he's
know. I don't know who said
Brett.
name of it.
Yeah.
Who helped
The
you out with that? So you talked a little bit about your kids. What about with your wife as well? Do you, when you said you try and shut it off in there, what are conversations and that look like? Do you talk about work on your vision and business together?
Yeah.
Oh, there goes my camera. That happens. You can keep talking.
Okay. So my wife doesn't really have anything to do with the day-to-day of the business. She has her own job. She works for an IT reselling company, and I think it's been 12 years now she's been with them, so before we even got together. And so she's been doing that, but we talk about the business and we talk about all kinds of stuff. I fill her in. And you got to meet her at Clipicon. That was actually the first time she ever saw me speak and the first event she ever came to me with me too. So that was really fun to have her there. And she really enjoyed seeing everybody and meeting everybody. She's like, "You have a good group of people you hang out with." And I said, "I know, that's what I hang out with them." And so she really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed having her there. It was it was really fun for me to pretty much bring those two worlds together. And then with some of the stuff I'm working on, I want her to be more of a part of it. And then my goal is hopefully within the next year is that she can quit her job and then just, come and help me full time with stuff. But I don't know if she'll ever help really with the service side of the business. It'll be more like me and my, podcast speaking, that kind of stuff, or whatnot. But I mean, she knows I talked to her about all of this, everything, the good, the bad, I don't, it's at the end of the day, my paycheck's tied to it all, so she needs to know and stuff, and the same thing for my business partner and his wife. She's a teacher, so that was one of the reasons why early on we didn't pay ourselves a lot of money. We reinvested in the company so we could grow, and we lived off our wife's salaries. So that was why we were able to grow really fast, was because of that. So we got to give the credit to them for that. I mean, it wasn't until a couple of years ago our employees were making way more money than us. Like they were making, like, you look at payroll and you'd be like, "Oh my gosh, like they're making way more than us." So it was one of those things that, luckily we had that and we were able to do that.
This silly camera. See if it turns back on. I love how you just talked about and gave her credit for that and what a big deal that is. That is the case so many times when people are starting a business or starting a new thing or taking their business to the next level of, giving credit to your partner, your spouse, whatever, that they are grinding it out and that is financing you building the dream for the two of you, building, the empire for the two of you, but they are financing that. As you get it to off the ground or get it to the next level. And that's an integral part, so that's an integral part of working together as a team.
I always tell her, I was like, you being married to an entrepreneur is totally different than your friends, that they both have 9 to 5s and stuff." And she said, "Yeah." She's like, "People would be like, well, what time's your husband get home?" And she's like, I don't know. Whenever he gets home today." She's like, "Today it might be 2:30. Tomorrow it might be 8:30." And it's gotten better now. This was a lot early on. I mean, there's still times where it's, late nights or whatnot, or doing something or whatnot. And then, traveling and going to shows and conventions and all kinds of stuff or whatnot. So, she's amazing and runs the house and the kids. And when
And
I'm
that's
here, I help out a lot. Yeah, I help her out a lot, so, because we have 3 boys now, so it's 5, 3, and an 8-month-old. So that was, she has her hands full, with all that.
absolutely. Well, I loved meeting Allison at Clipicon. It was great to spend time with her, and I look forward to spending time with you guys again too. And
I'm sure we will.
on that note, we're going to take our final commercial break and let my camera. We're back. Maybe my camera will work. Sometimes it gets overheated and I'm not exactly sure what happens. I didn't even use it much today. That's what happens when you do 3 shows and you have lights on your camera and I have yet to figure out how to put a fan on it and cool it off, but that's okay. We figure out all the things. Okay, so I want to make sure and get into, I have so many questions. I'm like, I'm always like, how does it get to be this time? I don't know. I didn't get through
Goes by,
all my,
right?
it goes by. But I want to make sure and get to Beyond the Bulb. So we're going to dive into that now and tell us a little bit about all that's going on with that.
Yeah, so I guess what I would do is I would kind of tell you why we started it. So me and my business partner are part of a organization called CLIPA, Christmas Light Installation Pro Association, and we're certified trainers, so we train people across the country to get into Christmas lights. A lot of people, have other businesses and then they want to get into it, like I did, to supplement their winter income. So we've been doing that for, what, 8 years now, I think, training people. And then We bought JC Chanowski in with us last year to be a Clipa trainer. And then Matt is the owner of Clipa, so who we do them all with. So we've been training people, and we always had people ask us, well, after we do the training, what's next? We want something more. We want something more. Like, what's after the initial 2-day training? And so we've been hearing people, we had been talking about it a while, and then it all of a sudden just came. We talked about it after the end of last season, and it just kind of happened. We put it together this year. And so what it is, it's a mastermind for Christmas Light entrepreneurs that are wanting to take their business to the next level. And so we really want to help them be a collaboration of not just us four, but of everybody in the group to help grow the company. So, you know, the saying, a rising tide raises all ships is, you know, I say that all the time, and I think that's amazing because, you know, we can all level up if we get in that group and have the brain power and the that, you know, what we can do and how we can help everybody. So right now we just pushed it live May 1st, and we have our first group that is for it's for established businesses that are trying to, you know, grow, and then we're rolling out a starter group, if you will, and that's going to be, well, the one we have now is called the Lumen Learners, and then the other one's going to be called I'm gonna mess this up. It's brand new. Lumen Leaders is what we have right now. Lumen Learners is gonna be the starter group. So that's gonna be people that just got into the business or have only been in a year. And so so we're just rolling that out to probably go June 1st. And then for that group, because we're getting a lot of people that were in just starting their company that wanted help. So we're gonna have two different groups there right now. So yeah, we just really want to get it together and help people get to seven figures like we did. You know, we had five crews going last year, and, you know, from September to December, and did 1.2 million in Christmas lights. So we just want to take everything we've learned and help everybody else, you know, get there or surpass us, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I had JC just post the link.
Okay, awesome. There it is. Yep, Beyond the Bulbs. Yep.
There it is. So you guys can, I should click on it. So it shows up on that.
Yep, there you go. That's the website. You can go there and fill out a form, and we'll actually, one of us will reach out to you and have a set up a good fit call. And, you know, we're not letting everybody in. We like to be clear on that because, you know, we want people that are of growth mindset, that are actively trying to rapidly grow their company, not just by a little bit, and really move the needle. And so we want people that are in that right mindset, that are willing to help other people. And so we're looking for certain people to help us with that, help us grow that group. So if that's you, then we would love to have you and love to set up a good fit call and, you know, see how we can help each other grow their companies.
Absolutely. So you talked about Clipa first, and I had Chelsea on here.
Yeah.
He and I talked about it a little bit. That is where we met at ClipaCon, and I had no idea what Clipa was before that. But if you are listening and are interested in adding Christmas lights to your business, that is a great place to start. I've said that before, but check out that program. As Ryan said, Ryan and Brett and JC are all trainers with that. And it just was, I was in awe of how encompassing it is to get somebody started, that training. Yeah. If you are in the lawn and landscape industry or pressure washing, window, like you're looking at home service business, looking to add something to your business as an additional source of income, that is a great place to start to get you what you need, to get you the training that you guys do, and really all the resources and the support you need to get started. And then I've loved having a little behind the scenes look at what you guys are creating in Beyond the Bulbs. And extraordinary, a great idea that's going to really help so many businesses in this sort of mastermind setting take their business to the next level. And I know, like you said, that's the first level that you're starting with, is people that are established.
Yep.
You've done that, whether you went the Clipa route or you did it yourself, that you're at a place and now it's really time to scale your business. And instead of trying to just figure that out on your own, getting to be a part of a group and really getting to be, to learn from you guys who have done it well, who have taken it to the next level and explode it. It's a great way to invest in being part of this group and save yourself time, money, headaches, and build faster.
I wish I had something like this when we were getting started. You know, that's what I say all the time. I'm like, unfortunately, when we started, the social media and everything wasn't as big as it is now, and all the groups and everything and stuff. So I wish I had this kind of stuff, but I'm glad that we're here now to be able to help all the other, everybody else do it. But, you know, the people we're having that we're interviewing, some of them, you know, they're going to bring so much value to the group too. And that's why I want to stress it. It's not just us for it. It's like the whole group, because we have so many people that are going to be bringing, you know, so much value in there. So, and then, you know, you're going to get scripts and systems and all kinds of stuff that we've built out over the years in our companies. So that's the other really cool thing that we're going to have in there as well, you know, is that it's all in there, the files on the Facebook group and everything.
Yeah, such an incredible resource. One, the people, you guys, to have, you know, a front seat with you guys as mentors, and then to just get to be a part of that community of other people that are on the same page, elevating each other's mindset, thoughts, and then, like you said, all the resources that you guys are going to provide. It's just incredible. And like you said, the legacy, why leave all that knowledge locked inside your brain? So it's great that you guys are willing to do this and really just have this servant heart and servant leadership to pass it on with others. And if you're listening and are in that place that you've done it, like, why not beat your head against the wall? That's me. I wish in so many of my businesses I had somebody that was like, here's the blueprint to go faster. Don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And so it's just a great combination of that, I think, are the two parts of coaching that put together in a mastermind setting, that it is all about the mindset, that we're elevating your mindset, we're elevating your thoughts, we're helping you think bigger than you thought you could have done. But then also the blueprint part, that is, you know, here's the recipe for what it is. So.
Yeah. No, exactly. 100%. And I'm huge on mindset. Like, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. You know, that's it's, I don't know if you've ever read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite books. I think everybody should read that book. And so I think that, you know, mindset plays a huge part of that. And, you know, if you're not in a growth mindset, then, you know, you're living in, I live in a land of abundance, and a lot of people live in scarcity. And if you don't think there's enough work, or you don't think there's, you know, enough stuff, then you're not going to be successful. So.
Yeah, that's good. I need to reread that book. Shine, can you put all these books in there? Oh, we got some kids.
It's Jackson, my oldest. You gonna come
say hi then? I love kids on the show.
Come here. Come here, come say hi. They already saw you. You're not going to? You're gonna be shy?
I wanna be on the show.
Okay. You're talking about Christmas lights. Come here, come just say hi for a second.
Okay. Hi.
He's got pain on his face. They had field day today.
Oh.
This way. It was a monkey, but it's smeared now. Say hi.
Hey, that's okay. Hi. Can you tell us your name?
What's your name?
Jackson.
Hi, Jackson. You're a celebrity now. You're on the radio. And I don't know if Facebook's a celebrity, but
yeah,
we'll call it one. Do you like Christmas lights?
You like Christmas lights? Yeah.
They make you happy. Christmas lights.
They make you happy, don't you? Yeah.
Oh.
They had a competition in our neighborhood 2 years ago. Well, 2 years back to back, but the last one was like 2 years ago. And we won first place, obviously, right? Because who thinks they're going to, no one's going to beat us. And so we have two trophies. Yeah.
Oh.
So
that's exciting.
Yep. So yeah, he loves driving around looking at them and putting them up, don't you? So. Okay. Go on.
Thanks for being on, Jackson.
She said, thanks for being on.
Okay, so like Ryan said, go check out the website, Beyond the Bulbs. If you have people in your life that you know that are in the lighting business, share that with them. It's an incredible opportunity. So thanks for sharing that. We are going to wrap up with the final thoughts. So before I ask you the closing questions of something funny and uncomfortable, any parting words you want to share with the audience?
I mean, I think just, you know, I was talking about mindset. I really like to talk about mindset. So, you know, I think just if you're struggling, you know, we've all been there. I think we've all been in times where we're struggling and we don't have the growth mindset. But if you feel like you have a fixed mindset and, you know, everybody's out to get you, then you need to work on that mindset, because that's what's really going to propel you and help you get through your life. I mean, I didn't touch on a lot of it, but you know, I kind of touched on my dad, you know, being in, you know, drugs and alcohol and stuff, and that had a huge impact on me. And I chose to come out. I could have chose that path and followed him, but I chose not to follow that path and go the opposite way because of my mindset and everything. So I think, you know, we all have bad stuff that happens in our life, and it's all in how you take it and you look at the silver lining and come out the other side. So I think mindset's a huge, huge thing in your life. And I think, you know, that's one of the biggest things you can work on, and it'll help you be really successful in your life and find happiness.
I agree with that. It is all about mindset. And one of the biggest things that determines that, I think, is the community and tribe that you choose to be a part of. And getting to have people like you, getting to be in your life. And there goes my camera for the end of the episode. But, you know, who you choose to select as your tribe and consciously put in your life that continues to elevate your mindset, that continues to help you spiral up. Make sure that, you know, those little failures and disappointments don't get you down. So, what funny thing am I going to ask you? I didn't write that one down. If you could have dinner with anybody, past or present, who would it be and what would you eat?
Who would it be and what would I eat? You know what? I think I would, so funny story, I'm related to William Wallace, Braveheart. Yeah. So how we found this out was my sixth great grandfather is a guy named Oliver Hazard Perry on my mom's side. And he fought on the War of 1812 in Lake Michigan, was a naval captain. And, so we knew that for the longest time. And like about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I looked him up online, just looking him up and seeing stuff about him. And it said his mom was Sarah Wallace, a direct known descendant of William Wallace. So I was like, oh, we're related to Braveheart. So that's pretty cool. So maybe I'd have dinner with him just to find out more about him and like my ancestry and stuff. So, and I mean, I honestly, it'd have to be something Scottish, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, yes.
So it'd have to be, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, so it'd have to be something Scottish, I feel like. But I think that'd be really cool just to, like, you know, that time period was always intriguing to me anyways, you know, so.
I love that one. I haven't had that original of an answer. Yeah. This camera seriously is crazy. Okay, so last, this is always a question for the viewers. So what is one thing that you need to do to get uncomfortable in the next week to grow your life or your business?
I need to do more lives. I started doing one a week. So, and,
thank you.
I need to do more of that. So JC's been pushing me he pushed me to do one a week. I've been doing that, but I think I need to start doing more. I love doing this kind of stuff. I love being on podcasts. I love, you know, like you said, I love it. And I love learning about people and doing stuff and helping people. So I just need to do it. Once I start doing it, I know it'll be easy, but it's just taking that initial step to do it more and like schedule it and put it on my calendar, you know, because then I'll do it.
All right, we're going to hold you accountable and cheer you on to more lives. Everyone follow Ryan and comment on his lives. Encourage him to keep doing more.
Yep.
My uncomfortable is, it's not necessarily, it's uncomfortable committing to it and putting it out there to other people so that I actually get it done. But JC and I put out a 100-mile challenge the month of May. He's going to run them. I'm going to run walk them, probably more on the walk side. Just going to give myself permission to do that. So you can do it in any sort of way that you want if you want to join us on this 100-mile challenge and get yourself uncomfortable. But that's uncomfortable putting it out there and telling everyone I'm going to absolutely get it done. And the other thing is, we said we'd hold each other accountable on doing ripple effect. And again, the uncomfortable part is that I am saying it out loud and just intentionally planting those seeds. I'm not going to say what it is, but just really consciously setting time aside each day to pour into other people and create that ripple effect. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for being on, Ryan. Oh, like I said, we could talk forever, and I can't wait to spend time with you and Allison soon.
Yep. Me too.
Audience, your challenge is what do you need to do in the next week to get uncomfortable? Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.